What an awesome privilege each and every Sunday to share God's precious word. Have any of you here ever disappointed your dad? Sons are usually closer to their mothers. Daughters are usually closer to their fathers. So, daughter, did you ever disappoint your daddy? Son, did you ever disappoint your mom? Think about it for a moment. I remember sometimes I disappointed mother and she'd say, "Roger, Roger, Roger." That's all I needed to hear. I remember when Charlie and Hap had the grocery store in Mount Pleasant Mills. Do you remember that? I remember one day I put some things in my pocket that I didn't pay for. I took them out in my pocket when I got home and started playing with them. And mother said, "Where did you get those?" "At the store." "Did you pay for them?" "No, I just put them in my pocket." "Well, we're just going to go right back down to the store and you're going to give them back to the store." I knew I disappointed her. And probably wasn't the last time I disappointed her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help me to share this, to make it simple and clear, because that's the way I am. I'm just really simple. And the way I have to get things, I'm going to try to share that with these, your people, so they can get it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've always had a hard time with comprehension. I've always envied people who had thoughts that they could see something and it's photographic for them. Is that way with you? You can see something and it's right there. It's up here. Boom. For me, I had to really work at that. I just had to keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and reading it and reading it until it finally soaked in. I was one that when I studied, everything had to be quiet. I couldn't have nothing on. No noise, no TV, no music. Because I love music. I can't study and listen to music. I love music because as soon as I'm studying, my mind starts going into that music. Oh, and I'm starting to sing and I can't do both. How many of you can do both? I can't. Now, my son Josh could. He was just amazing. He could. Everything that you could turn on the house, you could turn it on and he could still study. And he actually got something out of it. Then there's my daughter, Ivy. She, like I am, had to work for everything. She had to have it completely silent. And you know, it's that way with our children. It is. We all get things differently. Some of us have to work harder. Others, we're just gifted in that way. So the message is really simple. I would have liked to just named it the gift. But there's so many gifts. In the scriptures, we have the gift of salvation. There are so many gifts. The gift of Jesus, he was our greatest gift. The gift of righteousness. I've really never looked at it that way, as a gift. It's how God makes us into who he sees us to be. Let me say that again. How God makes us into who he sees us to be. The word sanctification is a theological term that comes from the word to sanctify. In our church, as I was growing up, one of the things that we were taught that if you really wanted to live a pure and clean life, you certainly had to have the gift of, do you remember, Scotty? Lauren, Goldie? Those three I called out went to the same church I did. If you wanted to keep yourself pure, you needed to have the gift of what? The gift of speaking in tongues was encouraged very strongly. If you wanted to keep yourself pure, you really needed to have that gift. Well, if that were the case, what happened to Jimmy Swigert? So I knew it was more than that. It was more than that. The question I want to answer is, what keeps us pure? Sanctification, and I'm going to say this will help you to understand what I'm about to say. Sanctification is the spirit of Christ in us, making us to be in reality what God sees us to be already through justification. And justification is just as if I died. It's just as if I died. And I did die with Christ, as Paul stated. Plainly, God has already made us just. He has already made us right in his eyes. This is the work of the Spirit of Christ in us, to conform us to what God already sees us to be. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, we read, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul writes further, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." Chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 in Thessalonians. The apostle saying, it is God's will that you live a holy life, that no sin should have power or dominion over you. In all our life, we struggle with sin. I have written in the back of my Bible, I don't know how long ago, but it's been quite a while. On the back page of my Bible, I have written, soul is saved, that's justification. Spirit is being saved, that's sanctification. And the body will be saved, that's glorification. How about that? Justification, sanctification, and glorification. I don't know what your temptation is, but God does know. And I can tell you that the devil also knows what it is that draws your attention. He knows how to get your attention. He knows your weakest link in the chain. But the Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace," Romans 6:14. It's the Lord's intention that every believer have a controlling power in his life, and a real authority to reign over sin. Which brings me now to our portion of scripture we read earlier. If you're in Romans chapter 5, you can get there now. "For if by one man's offense death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace," and this is something that I don't know how I missed, but for years I've read right through it, never caught it, "and of the gift of righteousness." I don't know that I've ever really thought of righteousness being a gift. And listen to what it says, "and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. That's talking about this life on this side of heaven. That's this life, the life that I now live through the one Jesus Christ. The life that I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20. We see there's another powerful truth that's in this verse. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Paul is calling righteousness a gift. It is something given to you. It is put in your possession, something you can touch and feel. The gift of righteousness, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. When you surrendered your life to Jesus, you were adopted as a son, and you were made a joint heir with God's own Son. And at that very moment, God set forth his very Spirit of Christ to abide in you, to empower you, and to actually live your life for you. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Paul asked that question in 2 Corinthians 13:5. We know that Jesus is the only victor over sin, the flesh, and the devil. He alone is the conqueror. He is the Lion of Judah. He sends his Spirit. God sends his Spirit, the mighty warrior of Jesus Christ, to be our sanctifier. We have no power in ourselves. All power over sin, flesh, and the devil is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It's in his Spirit that we get our power. And he has been sent to dwell in us. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, I must go. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But when I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to be your comforter. Do you think for a moment that God would justify us? Then leave us totally powerless against the principalities and powers of darkness? Do you think he says to us, I consider you righteous by your faith? In the accomplished work of my Son, now go and resist sin and fight the devil as best you can? No. He doesn't do that. Our Lord Jesus did the battle with the devil and he defeated him. And Jesus returned to the Father. He certainly didn't return to the Father and then do what he did and then quit on us. No. It goes much further than that. He didn't merely say, I did my part, now do yours. Our blessed Savior ascended to heaven with a blood-stained banner of total victory over all power of the enemy. And he is still there now, interceding for us. He is still there now as God and as a victorious man, sitting in the glory at the right hand of the Father. He has sent us his Spirit who abides in every believer's heart. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, John 14:17. You and I are never to face the tempter in our own strength. Because nothing we have is adequate. According to the Bible, we have a spirit in us that is greater than any demon in this world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. His Spirit empowers us in all the battles with the flesh and the devil. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3:20. And we can reign in life only as we allow the Spirit of Christ to live his life in us and through us. Listen to Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will what? Live. All power over sin and the flesh and the devil is in the indwelling Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it's he that would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Every sin that would enslave you, every demonic stronghold demands a miracle of God. Only he knows how to deliver his people out of the power of darkness. It must be done supernaturally. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Galatians 3:5, question. God works miracles, not for those who labor under their own power, but for those who fully trust him to do it completely. The greatest release of power, the greatest release of faith is possible when we become wholly convinced, get this, that God loves you. God loves you. Paul says, it's love that releases faith to walk as Jesus walked. Let me read it for you this way. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. There it is. Galatians 5:6. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. In these verses, Paul connects our victory with God's love for us. This whole concept of sanctification is all about love. Paul said the life of Christ was released in him through a faith that worked by love. Listen to it. Now I'll read it for you. And when you think about that, it'll make total sense to you. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who did what? Who did what? Who loved me? Who loved me? And he gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. You see, Paul was convinced the Lord loved him. He stood as a son of God that produced, is what produced faith in him. And that faith released the life of Christ in him. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul went on further to say, God loved you even when you were dead in your sins. And now that you trust his love, he gives you resurrection power. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2:4-5. I want to give you an example of that love that I heard this week. How many of you watched the Billy Graham funeral? How many of you saw that? For those of you that didn't, you really missed it. Really spoke to my heart. The family of Billy Graham had opportunity to talk about their father. The one that really gripped my heart was Billy Graham's daughter, Ruth. Ruth Graham went through 2 divorces. The second divorce, she absolutely thought, this has got to be the man. Her family tried to talk her out of it. Said it's too soon, Ruth. Her children said it's no good. But Ruthie thought this was the man. Well, it wasn't the man. She was sadly brought into reality. He was everything but the man. To the point to where she was afraid of him. She didn't go much deeper, but I assume he must have been abusive. She didn't say that, but he must have been abusive. She said She was afraid of him. Second go at it, Billy Graham's daughter. She said, it's one thing to disappoint your dad. It's quite another to disappoint Billy Graham. She felt so ashamed. Had made so many wrong decisions. Brought her family shame. Brought her daddy shame. There was only one place to go. She needed to return home. And in her eulogy, she said, I made my way on that crooked, mountainous road back home to my roots, to my family home. As I was winding up through the road, I was just many, many things coming to my mind. I really didn't want to face my dad. But she said, as I got closer to the home, I could see someone standing in the driveway. And as she got close, she said, it was my dad. He was waiting for me to come home. He never mentioned anything about the wrong decisions I made. He just opened his arms and welcomed me home and loved me unconditionally. What an example of the Father's love. The sole motivation to be holy. And have you heard The Cross and the Switchblade, written by David Wilkerson? In 1958, David Wilkerson went to the Fort Greene Projects in Brooklyn, New York. There he met the notorious Mau Mau gang. When he preached, the gang members made catcalls, hooting and yelling. After he finished, he went over to speak to one of the leaders. One of them was Nicky Cruz, who had tried to kill his own brother. Brother David Wilkerson said, Nicky, Jesus loves you. Nicky spit in his face and laughed, and then he cursed him. But Nicky couldn't shake those words. Nicky, Jesus loves you. Those words made their way into this gang leader's heart. He couldn't escape their power. He thought, who could ever love me? I hate people. Nobody has ever loved me. But the Lord came into Nicky's heart. Nicky finally knew who he was, a beloved son of God. The truth of God's love changed Nicky Cruz's life forever. Years later, he became an evangelist, and Nicky came to visit Brother Dave Wilkerson, whom he spit on and made fun of. And Brother Dave asked him, what had kept him true to Jesus all these years? He said, Brother David, you told me once that Jesus loved me. I became convinced of that. So I just started to love him back. And that's what has kept me. Nicky didn't go to any college or university. He had no theology of sanctification. But he was being sanctified, because he was loving his Father and receiving his Father's love. And so you may wonder, Pastor, I believe God loves me, but what's my part in all of it? Here's your answer. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows all about your struggles. He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. To you, it might look hopeless, but God knows exactly when and how he will deliver you. And thank God he didn't leave it up to us. And our part is simply to acknowledge that our own efforts are useless And we must submit to the Spirit of Christ that is in us and to call upon Him. Lord, I can't do it, but You can. And I turn it all over to You. That's how easy it is. Are you willing to turn it all over to Him? I want to give you one of the most important passages in all the Bible. And it concerns the necessity of trusting God's love as a means of being delivered. It's found in 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Did you catch that? What purifies you? This hope in Him purifies us. Jesus has the power to purify us. That power is available to us only as we rest in knowing that we are His children and He loves us. Perhaps you've spent weeks, months, and years doing battle with your sin. You may have gritted with your teeth and promised both God and yourself, I will beat this thing. I will win. No, you won't. You can't win on yourself. You need to give it to the Lord. Give it all to Him. Talk to your Father today. Take a look at that habit that holds you and let faith pour out of your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to read this prayer to you, then I want you to say it to the Lord between you and Him. Oh Lord, my powerful Savior, I know You love me. And You have all the power I need. I'm weak and I'm helpless, but I trust in Your power to cast out this evil thing. Lord, I need a miracle of deliverance. You are going to set me free. Does that sound like something you'd like to pray? I'll say it slower so you can say it with me. Oh, Lord, my powerful Savior, I know You love me. And You have all the power I need. I am weak, helpless, but I trust in Your power to cast out this evil thing. Lord, I need a miracle of deliverance. You are going to set me free. Claim your miracle. Your Father loves you. Now love Him back as a son or a daughter today. Amen. Would you stand with me? Whew. Wow. What a powerful truth. The gift of righteousness. I really never looked at it as a gift. You willing to turn it all over to Him? Let His gift of righteousness cover you. When God sees you, He sees Jesus, and Jesus is perfect. I don't want Him to see that part of me, because I've sinned and I've come short of His glory many times. Now let's pray. It's time to go home. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for this precious, precious word. Oh, I needed it. I needed it today too. Thank You so much for speaking to my heart this morning, last night. And thank You for allowing me to just be a spokesman today, just to share Your word. What a privilege it was today. Thank You for each and every one who prayed this prayer today. And Lord, look forward to spending this week with you. We don't know what's going to happen this week yet, but we're not worried because I know that you hold tomorrow. Lord, bless you. You're dismissed.